Great athletes are smart. They see the entire playing field with great peripheral vision. They seem to communicate seamlessly. That's why your local Chevy dealers have the smartest athletes on the road. So check out a Chevy Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting full-size pickup on the road. On the road or off, it's one tough customer. Now get 18% off MSRP cash back on all 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT pickups. That's $9,000 cash back on a 1500 Crew Cab LT All-Star four-wheel drive. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. It's one smart. Smart move.
You love college football.
Can he take this home?
You've come to the right place.
He's gone! Touchdown again, Josh Adams!
This is your home for Chicago's college tailgate.
Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands, and guess which dogs are barking first? Ugga, get after it!
Chicago's college tailgate.
Fire to the end zone! Touchdown! Alabama wins!
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
The game is over! The Wildcats prevail!
It's time for Chicago's college tailgate on ESPN 1000.
The open field. It's the corner. Got a great block. Unbelievable! 56 yards! Touchdown, USC!
This is Chicago's college tailgate, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Here's Jonathan Hood.
I'm in the Four Winds Casino at the KEK Grill, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. I'm Jonathan Hood. It's Chicago's college tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we lead you into Michigan against Notre Dame. Our coverage starts at 5:30 right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT and also on our Facebook page as well. Look for college tailgate there on our Facebook page. And guys, before we even get into our college football discussion, there's plenty to talk about here already for week one for college football. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about what the Bears did this morning. Bears general manager Ryan Pace, wheeling and dealing, saw an opportunity to bring one of the best defensive players in the league to the Bears. He pounced. He was able to get Khalil Mack from the Oakland Raiders. And I'll tell you what, Chris, you know, many times over the years, you would see this opportunity if you are the Bears, an opportunity for you to trade for someone that can help you right away. A three-time Pro Bowler, 40 sacks in his four NFL seasons, has not missed a start in 64 regular season games. Khalil Mack definitely is the real deal, but the Bears, with the testicular fortitude to be able to get this done, they are able to get Khalil Mack, a difference maker for this defense.
Yeah, you hear the news as a Bears fan, the first thing you have to think of is, okay, the time is now. Because Ryan Pace has mortgaged the future to make this team good at the moment. And that means whatever you thought heading into this season, push it to the side, because now this team needs to make a playoff run, or else we're going to have some questions when we get to the offseason. Because the one thing you were definitely missing with this team on defense, a legit pass rusher, a top five defensive player in the entire league, you now have that guy. Now you have to make it all worth it. You have to make the playoffs. You have to make a push, Abdallah. And that's what's so fascinating and so great about this move, because now the Bears are back in it.
Well, you've got Mitchell Trubisky, who's on a rookie deal, so that money is taken care of for the foreseeable future. So the Bears had the cap space and the money to do this. Let's look at exactly what they gave up. The Raiders are going to get a 2019 first-round pick, a 2020 first-round pick, a 2020 third-round pick, and a 2019 sixth-round pick. But that sixth-round pick is whatever. The Bears get Khalil Mack, of course, a second-round pick, and a conditional 2020 fifth-round pick. So they're not going to get a second-round pick next year. They're going to get it in 2 years. So Ryan Pace really putting it out there and saying, look, our defense is built to win now. We're missing that second pass rusher. So now this pass rusher becomes our best pass rusher, and Leonard Floyd can become the second-best pass rusher if he needs to be. And now that top 10 defense from last year has a possibility to be a top-five defense. The big thing for me, though, is now you are married to Mitchell Trubisky, because if he doesn't work out this year or next year, you have to wait 3 full years to try to get a first-round quarterback again.
As far as us being Bears fans and over the years, the one distinguishing characteristic about Chicago Bears football is that the defense would be able to carry the mail. We saw that with the last Super Bowl team with the Bears, in which they go to the Super Bowl. You know, the defense really is the calling card for the team. But I think that this time around, I think that what the Bears did was almost Cubs-like in this regard, because here's Khalil Mack for an Oakland Raiders team that's behind the times. They don't think that defense matters. And Khalil Mack is going to bookend with Leonard Floyd. And the reason why it's Cub-like is because
look at your core defensively under 30. Khalil Mack is only 27. Floyd's 25. Eddie Goldman's 24. Akeem Hicks is 28. Roquan Smith was just drafted. Kyle Fuller is 26. Eddie Jackson's 25. So Chris, I guess the point is that you take a look at this defense. To me, at times, it was a playoff-like defense. Khalil Mack can only enhance what they've already done.
Stack the young chips on the team. And if you stack them on defense, the best way to win in the NFL is stack that defense with young talent and have a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. So Abdallah mentioned, this means it's go time now, because now we have to see what Trubisky actually is, because basically all the other pieces are falling into place. This team didn't have blue-chip players on it 2-3 years ago. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, you absolutely have blue-chip players all over the field, and that's why this defense should be so exciting. It's why they should be good. And now you have to take advantage of the financial position you're in, where you're not paying most of your salary cap to a quarterback. The fact that Mitch Trubisky's on a rookie deal, that's how we saw Seattle win. That's how we saw a young Indianapolis team with Andrew Luck win. That's how we've seen many other teams in the NFL win, is when the quarterback is on a rookie deal and the defense is stacked. That's how you take advantage of the salary cap in the NFL.
I'm glad you mentioned the Seahawks and the Colts, too, because you have to now assume that the Bears think Mitchell Trubisky can be Russell Wilson, can be Andrew Luck, can be that franchise quarterback. Now you traded up and drafted him second overall, so he better be, even before you made this decision to draft or to trade for Khalil Mack, because now you're kind of stuck with Trubisky. Whether he's good or not, we'll see. We didn't get to see a lot in the preseason from him. We obviously didn't get to see a lot from him offensively last year because of the play calling, but we always talk about what it takes to build a successful football team. Mm-hmm. You have to have the franchise quarterback, and you have to be able to get to the quarterback. And now the Bears have one of the best guys, if not the best guy in the NFL, to get to the quarterback. You look at his total QB pressures over the last 3 years. 2015, he had 82. 2016, he had 96. And last year, he had 79 QB pressures. He's been top three every single year in QB pressures. And you look at the division and the quarterbacks that they're going to face in the division. We all know Aaron Rodgers right out of the gate on Sunday Night Football to open the season. Now, you force the entire NFC North to re-game plan for you, because how are you going to deal with Khalil Mack?
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Chris, and Adam with you as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino at the Kankakee Grill. When you go into the Four Winds Casino, you go to the left, all the way to the left, and you'll be able to see us at the Kankakee Grill. We're with you here until 5:30. A very special broadcast here every single week. We give you what you need for a college football conversation, but because it's breaking news, we had to tell you about Khalil Mack. We're also going to update you on the scoreboard all throughout our show. Four times an hour, we'll give you the scores that you need for week one of college football right here on ESPN 1000. Also, we've got some giveaways for those that come to the Kankakee Grill here.
Yeah, if you come here, you have a chance to win tickets to see Notre Dame later on this season. In fact, next week, you can go see we've got two pairs of tickets to give away for Notre Dame and Ball State, and then one pair of tickets for 2 weeks from now against Vanderbilt, when they take on Vanderbilt September 15th. So you have to be here to win. You have to register here at the Four Winds Casino in South Bend. Come here, hang out, play some games, watch some games, and enjoy some college football conversation.
So at the top, at 15, at the bottom, and also 45, we'll hook you up with scoreboards to keep you abreast of what's going on from an entertainment standpoint.
Right here. Yes. Gambling perspective.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. And so, Chris, the longest offseason of all the major sports, but finally we're all here for a college football. Notre Dame against Michigan, that's why we're here. We have Michigan fans that are here at the Kankakee Grill also. Notre Dame fans have checked in as well as they stopped here at the Kankakee Grill on their way to the game here at South Bend. But off the bat, this could make or break a season for both of these two polarizing programs. Very few look at these programs as serious contenders for the national title, but the winner could really jumpstart their football season with a W, Notre Dame or Michigan.
Yeah, probably the highlight of most people in the Midwest of the first Saturday of college football. And Michigan, Notre Dame, it's obviously going to be led by the defenses because both were so outstanding last year. But really, tonight's game is going to come back to the quarterbacks. Brandon Wimbush and Shea Patterson. What are we going to see from the Ole Miss transfer? Is his juice worth the squeeze for Jim Harbaugh? And then also Brandon Wimbush. He only had a 49% completion percentage last season. I mean, is he going to be able to up that this season, be more efficient for Notre Dame, and allow the offense to really take off? Because this team has aspirations to make the college football playoff. The defense will be good enough, but can the offense keep up?
What do you think, Adam, about this matchup here?
I think that both defense, like Chris said, are going to be absolutely stacked, and it's going to be a big test for Notre Dame's linebackers to contain Shea Patterson. He's actually one of the few quarterbacks, if not the only one, who's actually better outside of the pocket than he is inside the pocket. He's not a threat to run. He had negative 21 yards on 47 rushing attempts last year, so he's not a threat to take the ball and actually run it for a first down. He may every once in a while for short yardage, but he's not going to break off a 10 or 15-yard run. But he's actually better when he's on the run outside of the pocket, very Aaron Rodgers-like when he's running around. 26 of 43 passes outside of the pocket last year for 423 yards and four touchdowns. A lot of production from him when he's running around. So it's going to be on those linebackers, on that secondary, to keep an eye on him when he's in the move. And then, of course, we talk about the other side of the ball with Brandon Wimbush. And can he essentially be better? Like, he was just bad at completing passes last year. In his last four games, 44% completion last year for Notre Dame. He just needs to be better. He took a lot of sacks that he didn't need to. He needs to learn to get rid of the ball earlier. He needs to make the throws down the field and put his wide receivers in a good position to catch the ball. It sounds pretty simplistic of what he needs to improve upon, but for some reason, Brandon Wimbush has not been able to do it.
And you know, for Notre Dame fans, that you're aware that Brian Kelly at some point is going to be red-faced on the sidelines, and at some point he's going to play a little roulette deal with the quarterbacks.
Of course.
And you might see Ian Book at some point, which... Here's the thing about Wimbush. He's a really good runner. He gives the dual threat for the Notre Dame offense, and Abdallah mentioned it. Can he be more consistent in the pocket? And that's the thing when you look at this Notre Dame team, because the schedule breaks down for them where if they beat the teams on their schedule who they probably should beat, you're going to make the playoffs. You know, as we head into the schedule, theoretically, they might be better than Michigan. If you beat Michigan, you're fine. If you beat Florida State, you're fine. If you beat USC, you're fine. You're going to get into the playoff. The problem with Notre Dame, though, is if you trip up, you have no conference championship game at the end of the season to help entice voters and the conversation around you to say this team should be in the college football playoff.
See, Adam, my issue with Michigan is this, is that there's going to be plenty of Jim Harbaugh defenders because they will look at the resume. They will look at San Diego State. They will take a look at what he did in the NFL. They'll take a look at where he's been. The point is, though, is that all those things are fine, but we're talking about Michigan now, okay? So he built himself in a position where he can have this job. And to me, 8-5 last year, 5-4 in the conference just was not good enough. We were talking about Nebraska, how they're all, you know, over the top with their standards. In 2018, but Michigan has had a constant standard for a long time. Let's put Brady Hoke to the side because that was a transitional period. Jim Harbaugh was there, was brought in to be able to win Big Ten championships. He talked about it a couple of days ago in a pre-tape he did for Game Day. He talked about how our key is to be able to win the Big Ten. Okay, that's fine. But here's the thing that is so confusing to me. His defense has been built up nicely. It's a good defense. Mm-hmm. But how is it that from an offensive standpoint, they still lag behind? That the ranked second in the Big Ten in total defense last season. In fact, the defense has never been better under Harbaugh. It's the offense that is the issue. Michigan ranked ninth in total offense in the Big Ten last season. This is what he's brought in here for, and I'm thinking if they fall short of their goal of winning the Big Ten championship or lose today against Notre Dame, it's the same old, I think, for Michigan.
Well, you mentioned the defense, and I'll address that first. His defense is one of the best in the country. Clemson's going to get a lot of talk for their defensive line. Michigan probably has the second-best defensive line in the country. He's returning a ton of starters to that Michigan defense. Your problem is the quarterback. He hasn't found his Andrew Luck. And I don't know if Shea Patterson's going to be that kind of guy. The problem with Michigan this year is even if they are good and Shea Patterson can be successful and the defense can be what it is, this schedule for them is absolutely brutal. They open the season, as we all know, we're talking about it, with Notre Dame. But then they have to go to Northwestern. They have to face Wisconsin. They have to go to Michigan State. They get Penn State at home, and then they have to go to Ohio State at the end of the season. Tons of hard games. The Big Ten is absolutely stacked this year. And it's going to be hard for Jim Harbaugh to go to these different places, to go to Michigan State, and then have to have Penn State come in after facing Wisconsin. I mean, you've got three games in a row here. Wisconsin, Michigan State, Penn State. If he can find a way to win those games and Shea Patterson is successful, good for them. Congrats. You've made the playoff. As far as I'm concerned, you've made the playoff. You go to a Big Ten championship, you've made the playoff. But that schedule is so tough. I don't know, with a new quarterback coming in, with a system that wasn't successful as an offense last year. You mentioned ninth in the Big Ten in offense. In the Big Ten, not even in the country. Ninth in the Big Ten.
Right.
So I don't know if they can be successful enough this year on offense, but everything has to come together at the right time for him. His defense has to be successful, and his offense has to be able to find a way to put points on the board all at the exact same time. And I don't know if he's going to be able to find that this year.
Time for a scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard. Here's on Chris. ESPN 1000.
Here's Chris.
Jonathan, we take a look at the scoreboard. Ohio State up on Oregon State 70-31 with 9:26 left in the fourth quarter. Delayed in a lightning delay. The early season lightning delays in college football. Maryland and Texas right now, they're delayed in the fourth quarter. It's 31 Maryland, Texas 29. Georgia's up 10-0 on Austin Peay early in the first quarter. Washington, okay, the Pac-12 hopes might be dashed in the first quarter of this one. Right now, Auburn is up 9-0 on Washington with 3:03 left in the first quarter. USC's on the board 3-0 over UNLV, a minute into that game. Also going on in the top 25 scoreboard, Appalachian State up 10-7 on Penn State right now, 2:06 left in the first quarter. West Virginia and Tennessee. West Virginia's up 10-0 on Tennessee at the end of the first quarter. And also scores in the Big Ten, Northern Illinois and Iowa heading into the second quarter, no score.
All right, Chris, thank you. As you're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Jonathan, Chris, and Adam with you as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino at the K&K Grill. Glad that you're with us. Follow us on Twitter, by the way, at ESPN 1000 CCT. Chris, I want to ask you about Notre Dame, but first let's hear from Brian Kelly, the head coach for the Fighting Irish. He talks about the quarterback with the aforementioned Wimbush and his improvements he sees for this upcoming season.
You know, he's made really great progress. I think the best way to encapsulate where he is that he drives the ball very well. He's a very good putter. He struggles chipping it, and the chips are these small completions around the line of scrimmage, screens, quick drop-offs. Those are very important to high-percentage quarterbacks, keeping drives alive. He was not very good at those last year. Those are touch passes. Those are the chips that get you up and down and saving rounds and saving drives. And so he's worked on it. He's better at it. He'll continue to get better at it. You know, he started 11 games, went 9-2 for us last year, threw over, you know, accounted for over 30 touchdowns. He's a good quarterback. He's got to continue to get better. But he obviously has other things that he can do for us, and he can use his legs. So he's a really good quarterback who's getting better each and every week, and expect him to play well against Michigan.
So Brian Kelly talking about Brandon Wimbush, the quarterback for Notre Dame. And Chris, to me, this is like Hogan versus Andre, the big blue cage. Who's going to be the first one out when it comes to Brian Kelly or Jim Harbaugh? You got to figure out like who's the first one out, who's going to be able to survive. You know, everything is pinned on that quarterback. Again, we talk about Jim Harbaugh and his offensive prowess. Same thing with Brian Kelly, an offensive guy that can be able to maybe enhance what Wimbush could bring to the table. But he really needs to rely on that guy to be able to get it done.
Yeah, and, you know, if you look at it, Brian Kelly actually has had a good offense, though, and that's the difference because Michigan's offense struggled so much last year. And Wimbush, his ability to not complete the short passes, which you heard Brian Kelly just talk about, the one thing that helps in that whole situation, the whole equation, is the fact that he ran for 803 yards last year. He had 14 touchdowns rushing the ball. So even if he can't complete the short pass, the easy pass that he allowed the drives to continue, Brandon Wimbush is a really good dual-threat quarterback. Now, is he the best in the country? Probably not, right? But most Notre Dame fans know that already, and they just want to see more consistency from him heading into this season because this offense last year, their offensive efficiency and SP plus was 24th in the nation. So, like, they're one of the better offenses in the nation. They have a quarterback who can make some throws. He can definitely run the ball, and the offense puts up points, and that's not what Michigan dealt with last year. And I know they have a new quarterback, but that's like the difference between these two teams is they both have really good defenses, but Brian Kelly's actually had an offense that's produced some points while he's been there.
However, Jonathan remembers the game against Georgia for Brandon Wimbush and Notre Dame.
Yes.
And
I was here.
And we all saw them face Miami. Two very good defenses last year. Brandon Wimbush, one touchdown, three interception in those two games. So against good defenses, he hasn't been able to show up. Sure, when they're playing Navy and it's a shootout, that's fine. But when he's playing top defenses like Georgia and Miami, he hasn't been able to come through. And that's been a problem. They need to come through in big games. You can win 8 games a year and be Notre Dame and be fine. But if you're not winning these big games that put you in playoff contention, what difference does it make?
No, it's fair. That's a fair point. And that's great for Notre Dame as they go through this season. What big games did Shea Patterson win last year? Because
exactly.
he had, you know, the science is deafening because he had a legit talent around him at Ole Miss.
Oh, better talent than he's going to have at Michigan.
Well, right. And that's the point is that you think that this new quarterback is going to save the day for Michigan. I'm not quite sold on it.
What let's pull up a Notre Dame schedule, because if they fall short here against Michigan, but I think it's likely, we got to take a look at what else is there for them. Because to me, I think it's a very slippery slope for Notre Dame. There will be people here at the K&K Grill that are diehard Irish fans, and they believe that they should have a chance at the Final Four. But the thing is that they got to go pretty damn close to undefeated to be able to be even considered in this independent division that they're in.
Well, you have to face Stanford at home. That's probably their next toughest game, because after this, you've got Ball State, Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, and then you've got Stanford here at Notre Dame. Then you have to go to Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You get Pitt at home. You have to go to Navy. You have to go to Northwestern, which will be a big game for them. And then you get Florida State at home, Syracuse at home, and then you have to go to USC at the end of the season.
At Northwestern, a trap game?
Oh, absolutely. Before Virginia Tech?
It's a week
just
before Florida State.
Week before Florida State, I mean, yes.
It's going to be a trap game, right?
I think it is.
And Evanston's going to be rocking that day?
We'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
Night?
I mean, that's a big game. Even though
that's
at the moment Northwestern's not ranked, that's going to be a tough game on the road.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Jonathan, Chris, and Adam with you as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino here in South Bend. If you've never been, it's pretty brand new. You should stop by. A beautiful facility. And here at the Four Winds Casino, they have got some tickets to give away here.
Yes, we're giving away a pair of tickets to that Vanderbilt game that I mentioned, and then two pairs of tickets to the Ball State game September 8th, all brought to you by Four Winds Casino South Bend, Four Seasons Heating and Cooling, ZipRecruiter, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Number two, Clemson gets the job done defeating Furman. Just one guy named Furman by the score of 48-7. And so we got to keep our eyes, Chris, on Clemson, because we talk about who's the closest team to Alabama, who could take on Alabama in the national championship game if Alabama gets there, maybe meeting them in the Final Four at some point. Clemson is going to be a team that we got to keep our eyes on as well.
Yeah, and their starting front four on defense is going to be the best in the country on defense. So if you look at Clemson, Dabo Swinney, I know that they're going to play two quarterbacks at times, and both got into the game today. This team is so much better than what we have at 3, 4, and 5. You have Alabama and Clemson, and I think maybe everyone in the country is picking both of those teams to make the playoff.
Sure.
And why would you disagree? From what we saw last year from both of these teams and the talent that's coming back for both of them, I think absolutely the door's open for Clemson to be 1 or 2 throughout this season.
46 sacks last year for a vaunted defense. Tied with Southern Cal for the most in the FBS.
I know that they're one of the best teams in college football. I know that they have the top defensive line in the country. But for all the scrutiny that the SEC and Alabama gets for their schedule, who does Clemson play?
Go through that schedule for us.
Well, they beat the Furman today.
Tough game.
Yeah.
Mark Furman.
Texas A&M, Georgia Southern, Georgia Tech, Syracuse, Wake Forest, NC State, their only ranked opponent, Florida State, Louisville, Boston College, Duke, and South Carolina.
That really is a nice schedule. But
oh, yeah.
Now where's you got a trap game there? One that you like?
NC State before Florida State?
Mm. Watch out for the Wolfpack.
You know?
I mean,
Louisville and an odd one there.
No, Louisville's not that same. Well, Bobby Petrino's going to get Clemson. Come on,
I mean, it's interesting though, because as we look at the schedule, it looks very easy for them. But as you well know, there's always just one kind of trip up game. I will say this though,
the Clemson-ing?
About Clemson. Yeah, the one thing I will say this about Clemson, unlike Alabama, they don't have they don't have to worry about so much scrutiny if they don't get there. You know why? Because similar to my team, Georgia, the doors open for Clemson at some point to knock down a national championship. And Dabo Swinney's already won. He wakes up every morning, despite whatever is in his bank account, he's a winner. And why he's a winner is because it's like, what was Clemson before he got there?
Nothing.
I mean, here's a guy here that replaced. He was a wide receivers coach, mm-hmm. and then steps in and makes Clemson a actual contender, a top four, top five team in college football. So to me, year after year with Clemson, to me, Adam, is just like it's just no pressure for them. It just whatever happens, if they're able to win a national championship, it's great. But at least they're always going to be in the mix with Dabo.
I always take the over on their win total because their schedule is so easy. They don't have that tough game. They may have to face Miami in the ACC championship game, but by then they'll have already locked up. What, are they going to lose to Miami and miss out on the playoff? If Miami's good enough to beat them and knock them out, I don't think Miami's going to be good enough this year to beat them in the ACC championship game. So I think they can go, undefeated and just walk right into, waltz even, right into the college football playoff. That's the easiest pick that the committee's going to have this season.
All right, speaking of easy schedules, coming up next, we talk about Alabama as they get ready to take on Louisville tonight.
Cupcake.
We will talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide, the national champions, the quarterback controversy. What can Alabama do this upcoming season? We'll address that coming up next. Along with Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah, Jonathan Hood with you. So we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino at the Kankakee Grill, Chicago's college tailgate on ESPN 1000.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Chicago's College Tailgate. I'm Chris Bleck. Scores going on in college football right now. 3:50 left in the fourth quarter. Ohio State up big on Oregon State, 77-31. Woo! Maryland and Texas still in that lightning delay. The score is 31 Maryland, Texas 29. Georgia, the Bulldogs, up 17-0 on Austin Peay. 12-10 left in the second quarter. Washington and Auburn right now, second quarter early. Auburn's up 9-3. The great hope for the Pac-12, they're down 6 early. USC is up 3-0 on UNLV, closer than the experts think at the moment, early in that one in the first quarter as well. Also, Penn State at the moment down 3 to Appalachian State, 10-7, with 30 seconds left in the first quarter. It's early, Abdallah. Come on now. You know how this goes. Iowa and Northern Illinois. Iowa is up 3-0 in the Big Ten, and also one other score. At the end of the first quarter, West Virginia is up 10-0 on Tennessee.
Along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Bleck, Jonathan Hood with you as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino at Kankakee Grill, Chicago's College Tailgate. Every week we're giving you the best of college football conversation right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Follow us on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com, Chicago's College Tailgate, or at ESPN 1000 CCT. The big news coming out today, as far as Chicago is concerned, is that is Khalil Mack is a Chicago Bear, Adam. And, again, a positive in the right direction for the Bears. Many years, the Bears would pass on something like this. But I know that there is some blowback. There always is going to be blowback when it comes to the future. And my thought on that is that even with a stacked, as you mentioned before, an NFC North, because we're talking about a Rodgers, we're talking about Matt Stafford, we're looking at you know, what the Minnesota Vikings could be. Point is that you got to jumpstart your program at some point, and if you're the Bears, if Khalil Mack can be able to help your defense, all the better.
Can I give you my favorite hot takes from the news cycle that is Khalil Mack coming to the Bears?
How about you fire away there, Abdallah?
This is my favorite.
Go
my favorite
it.
Part is as soon as this deal comes out, you just tweet, "Good morning, Chicago Bears fans," right? And people just start firing the hot takes, right? And what they give up and all this kind of stuff. My favorite hot takes in ranking order, number 3. I just came off the cuff, so I know Eric's not ready with drum rolls or anything like that.
No, please go ahead.
Number 3.
Yeah, just carry on. Give us the hot takes.
They're an automatic playoff team, guys. Automatic. Automatic playoff team. Don't have Aaron Rodgers in the Packers in this division or the Super Bowl contending Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah,
automatic playoff team.
Take that, Adam.
Right?
Yeah, take it.
Guys, we went to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman. Hot take, favorite hot take number 2. We went to a Super Bowl with
true.
Rex Grossman.
That's factually correct.
Find me Brian Urlacher on this team. Find me Peanut Tillman on this team. Where's Peanut Tillman on this team? Where's Mike Brown on this team? Where's Tommy Harris on this team?
That's a good point.
Okay. My favorite hot take coming in number 1 and my favorite hot takes about the Khalil Mack trade is the Bears can't draft in the first round anyway, so we might as well just trade them for Khalil Mack. And those are my favorite Khalil Mack hot takes.
Here's the key, Jonathan. This team hasn't made the playoffs since 2010. Under Ryan Pace, they're 14-34.
Yes.
That's not good. The fact that now you land a top 5 player on defense to add to what you have already, the collection of young talent that you already have, Roquan Smith, Leonard Floyd, Akeem Hicks, it is exciting as a Bears fan because now you know this defense is going to be for real. They should be able to get to the quarterback, which is such a important thing in today's NFL based on all the passing and all the great quarterbacks in the league, especially in your division.
Right.
Now you have someone who can go get that guy. Now, if the defense is set, as we look towards this season, now that we're on to Packer Week and the season's just a week away, can the offense actually produce like we all hope and dream of, seeing all the pieces add to Mitch Trubisky and the new head coach Matt Nagy in this offseason?
And if it doesn't, it's what I've seen as a Bears fan for almost all my life.
Yes, yeah, that's what it is.
But what you're trying to do is, in the best teams have the best balance. I talked to Waddle about this in Crosstalk when I was in there, 2 weeks ago. I said that there are some teams, like the Oakland Raiders, and I'm going to talk about the Raiders in just a moment, that don't really value having quality on both sides of the football. To me, that increases your chances of being able to win an NFL Super Bowl championship, or at least be in the mix in the playoffs. What the Oakland Raiders did, it shows me that John Gruden, with his 10-year contract, with his Super Bowl haircut, just like his general manager and his owner, to me, they don't value defense. How is it that you allow Khalil Mack, a guy that is top five in his position, top three in his position, to walk away, for him to be traded like this? Now, the Raiders, I don't know if they're necessarily ready to win this year, but I know that the door is open for them because their quarterback is good. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that, once again, a guy like John Gruden, completely behind the times, allowing Khalil Mack to walk, meaning that we'll just get done with offense. We'll just outscore everybody. Well, you know what? You're just not good enough to just outscore people yet. And so, to me, you still need building blocks on the defensive side of the football in order to have that balance.
They drafted for depth behind Khalil Mack in this draft. His name escapes me right now, but I know that their defensive end that they drafted.
But you got the genuine article right there in Khalil Mack.
No, I understand that. Also, well,
He's a top five player on defense.
But is it that they don't
you
value,
just let them walk out the door?
Is it that they don't value defense, or they're not going to pay players?
But they're not going to pay for defense like they're going to pay for a quarterback.
Oh, for sure.
And that is to me, that's the philosophy for a lot of teams. They're just going to try to go all in on offense, and then if we'll just outscore teams because our offense is so awesome. And that's not necessarily the way to go, I don't think.
Well, you look at the Jaguars. Look at what they did. They had Blake Bortles at quarterback. Look at their defense. Look at what Minnesota did with their defense. Those are teams that have made Super Bowl runs, that have made the playoffs, that have gone into the playoffs with a better defense than their offense. And that's basically what the Bears have now. Are they a playoff team? I don't know. I don't know if the offense has enough, because I haven't seen it yet, to be able to beat the teams in their own division. Are the games going to be a lot lower scoring now? Yes, absolutely, because the Bears have a top-five defense probably with Khalil Mack. But you also have to face teams that have good defenses and have top-tier quarterbacks. In their division, they have three top-tier quarterbacks. You have Matthew Stafford twice, Aaron Rodgers twice. You have Kirk Cousins twice now. You have to face Jimmy Garoppolo. You have to face Tom Brady. You have to face all these good quarterbacks. So now they've taken care of that issue. The issue is the other side of the ball now. Can they score?
Well, okay. So you mentioned, Jonathan, how they don't value the defensive stars like they do a quarterback.
Neither did the Rams until they signed Donald at the last minute.
Okay. My question is this. Are we sure about Derek Carr? Because they've hitched their wagon to a quarterback that I think some across the NFL are just unsure about. He had a really good season and then followed it up with a clunker. So I'm not sure. Like, here's my question, right? You're unsure about this quarterback, but you have the real deal in Khalil Mack, someone that I think everyone can agree upon. He is worth it. He is absolutely a star player. But you are paying instead Derek Carr for a quarterback that you hope that John Gruden can fix and change and get the most out of, which he probably will. Point being is, how much is the difference that you value the two, right? Like, would you rather have the player who you know who he is, even though he's not a quarterback, or take a flyer on a quarterback and just ship everything off?
Go all in.
Yeah, right.
It just shows you how far behind the times John Gruden is. Guy would even call him this summer. Mm-hmm. Try to reach out to him once. He's not available, but I don't have an ESPN producer to get him for me. So, because pretty much, I mean, he's just waiting for like an ESPN producer just to kind of trot down to the trailer and bring Khalil Mack to him. Well, that's not how it works in coaching.
Didn't he guarantee that he would be in camp? Didn't his pre-camp presser, didn't he say, I guarantee Khalil Mack will be in camp?
Yep.
How'd listen, that work out? If two things happened over the offseason in coaching, both college and NFL, that I can guarantee you will be train wrecks by the end, It will be John Gruden with the Oakland Raiders and Herm Edwards at ASU. Those are both going to be train wrecks, are they not?
Well, can I just see Herm for a year? Hold on now. They're playing tonight on FS1. We got to keep our eyes on that. Mm-hmm. They're going to be playing late tonight around 9 o'clock.
As
right?
an SC fan, I'm just happy for what they did. That's fantastic. In the Pac-12 South.
That's may not great. Be a good coach, but he'll That's teach those kids fantastic. How to be men.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Chris, and Adam with you, broadcasting live from the Four Winds Casino here at the K&K Grill. Let us hear from Brett Edwards, who we just heard from before we came on the air. Brett Edwards is a college football analyst for ESPN and ESPN.com. He gave his thoughts on the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I think there are a couple things. One, let's go back to the draft. And I think everyone, even if you've just been a casual observer, would have no trouble believing that Alabama's had more players that drafted than anyone over the last 10 years. But after this most recent draft, the total number of five-star high school players who have, you know, signed anywhere in, you know, with college football teams over the last, I think it was 12 years, the ones who have since become draft eligible. The five stars signed by Alabama, I think it was 48% of them have been drafted in the first round. Everyone else, every other five star that didn't sign with Alabama over that time period, 17% of them were drafted in the first round. So one thing that tells you that Nick Saban not only gets the best players, but he does a better job developing them, helping them get even better than anyone else. And so that's one thing that stands out to me. And the second thing is along those lines of complacency is that Alabama goes into the season opener against Louisville, having won 73 consecutive games against unranked teams in the AP poll. In fact, you've got to go back to 2007 to find the last time that they even lost to a team outside of the top 20. Alabama's gone more than 10 years without having that game where they just came out flat and got knocked off by a team that had no business playing with. And that, I think, as much as anything, is the key to this dynasty, which is that they have not given away a game somewhere. And that's why they are in the national championship hunt almost every November.
So Brett Edwards, with his thoughts about the Alabama Crimson Tide, as you puff up your chest with pride with all those numbers that Brad just gave out?
Music to my ears. Did he mention that they're 9-1 against the spread in these openers since Saban has taken over in Alabama?
That was later in the interview.
It was later in the interview?
Yes, that was later off the interview. But we decided to just cut it off right there because I think that those numbers are 73. 73 was the big
number. I'm talking
about
what matters. You got to cover for the boosters, Jonathan. Come on.
Well, there's no question about that. Again, that's going to be one of the big games tonight as the Crimson Tide takes on Louisville in Orlando, Florida. And so, I want you to address, because now you have the forum, because you have the big show here with Chicago's College Tailgate. Please address what you have gone through this week. Has it been hosts? Has it been people on Twitter coming after you about Alabama and the schedule? What has been the scuttle? I've been on vacation, but I've been reading this stuff.
Name names.
What's been going on?
Yes.
Tell me about
it. It's been all of the above. It's been, listen, I am done. I'm done. I'm not going to fight people. No. I was the
don't
night
be
college,
done. We're off at 5:30.
The night, well, you know, but the night college football started on Thursday night. I was just like an angry, one of those crying angry kids, just fighting with my eyes closed, just punching at the air, fighting with people at Twitter on Alabama. So here's what I'm going to say, and this is going
all
to
right.
be from
okay.
now until yeah. the national championship.
Until next week,
okay? You want to talk about Alabama? You want to talk crap about Alabama?
Uh-huh.
Okay, make the playoff and come beat them. Then we'll talk, okay?
Don't have anything more?
No. What do you want me to say?
That's it?
They have an embarrassment of riches on defense, and now they have an embarrassment of riches on offense. How many teams would take Jalen Hurts as their starter over their current starter, Chris? How many?
I would guess that you probably you would go down the list of the top 25, and you'd probably stop at Wisconsin.
Okay.
So probably you'd probably
you
get to four, and you'd probably say, all right, I'd probably rather have Jalen Hurts.
There you go. So, listen. They're the best team in the country right now. I think Clemson might actually, with their experience, they've got a much better defense. Alabama returns the second fewest amount of starters to their defense in the country this year. So I think they're going to struggle at first on defense. I think they're one of these teams that, because they're so good, they can take a while to get their stuff together because they're still going to win games. They're going to have a great offense this year. the reason they keep going through recruits, we see Jeremy Pruitt, or keep going through coaches, is because they're so good. We see Jeremy Pruitt. Look at the SEC now. It's littered with ex-Alabama coaches.
Saban offspring. Okay?
Saban offspring. And you know what? None of them can create the next Alabama. Kirby's trying to do it over at Georgia. Can he do it? I don't know. Jeremy Pruitt's going to try to do it over here at Tennessee.
You don't think Dabo's doing it at Clemson?
I don't know. Well, he might be. The cupcake schedule, I don't know.
Here's what Abdallah's not ranting and raving about. And, Jonathan, this is what might get them. Do you know who's a analyst on the group of assistant coaches working under Nick Saban this season?
Who?
Because this might sneak up and get you at some point.
Okay.
You got Butch Jones there. You think that's going to help?
When has an assistant ever snuck up and
it's
gotten
Butch
Saban?
Jones.
Did Lane? Everybody said the same thing when
Still
Lane came
Still a good play
there.
Caller, though.
Everybody said the same thing when Lane got there. Look at Alabama. They got Lane Kiffin. Guess what? He's a coach at FAU now. Making moves.
Yeah, people. Jim Ross was making fun of Lane Kiffin here after Oklahoma took
him
to the woodshed.
But look,
Jim was like, I'm looking forward to taking on Lane Kiffin. His pretty little hair, his pretty little hat.
he was ready for FAU today.
So if you want to come and talk, your team can beat Alabama, make the playoff, and then beat Alabama.
Here's the thing I don't want to say. We got a scoreboard here, but let me just say this. I don't know why you aren't just taking this in stride. I mean, here's the thing. You don't have to fight anyone when you're on the top of the mountain.
Exactly.
I'm a Georgia fan. I don't fight you. Only
no,
because
you
we're in the same conference. That's
yeah,
why.
We had a great banter during the championship game.
Yes.
We did. And that's fine. You know why? Because I block out all the haters. I can't hear them because these rings are so loud.
Every Alabama fan besides you I know just takes a stride like, well, that's nice. But you, I mean, you're fighting these people. You're fighting with Kaplan on this too?
Kaplan
doesn't get it. Cap's a fan of who he's friends with. So he's friends with Michigan State. He's going to be fans of Michigan State. He met Dabo once, so now he's a Clemson fan for some reason. He went to Croatia, so now he's a big Croatia fan. He's got that jersey, long NBA jersey.
Tongo Viola or Jalen Hurts. We'll get into that coming up after Chris Black and the CCT scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
It's now final. Ohio State 77-31 over Oregon State. So close. They are back playing now. The lightning delay is over between Maryland and Texas. Maryland still up 2, 31-29 with 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Georgia's up 24-0 on Austin Peay with 9:29 left in the second quarter. Right now, down 9. Auburn's up 12-3 on Washington with 8 minutes left in the second quarter. Guys, I told you before the show, this one's going to be closer than the experts think. Right now, UNLV leads USC 7-6. Still early in the first quarter, guys. 10 minutes to go in the first quarter. Still early.
Your face is red.
But like I told you, this is going to be a struggle. Oh, baby.
Like his neck is
turning
red.
Oh, baby.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of struggling, how about Appalachian State leading over Penn State 10-7 right now in the first quarter?
James Franklin's under overrated. Excuse me.
Right now, 10-7 is the score of West Virginia and Tennessee as well. James Franklin overrated. Wow.
No, I'm sorry. It was a sneeze. Sorry.
I was up 3-0 on Northern Illinois, and that's the scoreboard at this moment. I told you guys about UNLV. A 71-yard touchdown run for UNLV because the defense for the Trojans is trash.
Wow.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino here in South Bend. We've got some giveaways here for those that stop by the casino.
If you want to come by, say hi to us, play some games, watch some games, you can win a ticket. We have two pairs of tickets to Ball State and Notre Dame September 8th and one pair of tickets to Vanderbilt and Notre Dame September 15th, all brought to you by the Four Winds Casino in South Bend, Four Seasons Heating and Cooling, ZipRecruiter, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
All right, when we return, we will talk about the quarterback quandary that's taking place at Alabama. Who will play? Who will get more playing time? And we also get into a little bit of what's going on with the Heisman. Who could win the Heisman this upcoming season? We'll talk about it coming up next with Jonathan, Chris, and Adam broadcasting live from the Four Winds Casino at the Kankakee Grill, Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
And now, live from the Kankakee Grill at the Four Winds Casino in South Bend, it's Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, here's Jonathan Hood.
Steve Silverman from Bleacher Report will be with us at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts about some of the night games for week one of college football. Also, get his Khalil Mack information. Also, at the 4:35, we'll hear from Adam Rittenberg. He's in South Bend, by the way, covering Michigan and Notre Dame. He will join us at 4:35, all part of the mix right here on Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN1000CCT and also on our Facebook page, facebook.com. Tagovailoa or Jalen Hurts? That big controversy over the last couple of weeks. To me, as a Georgia fan, I don't want to see any more Tungo because I know what that was like. I know how difficult it was when Tua came in with that weird left-handed windup and was able to win a national championship over my Bulldogs. But, you know, unlike the NFL, when you do have two quarterbacks, you can make it work. And I know it's hard for Saban, doesn't want to give up the game plan, but whoever plays the most, they should be able to flourish against Louisville, right?
Well, Jonathan, it's about who wins the team. Who's gonna make the effort to win the team?
That's a new score the ball.
And that's whoever wins the team is going to set himself apart from the other, and he will win the day and win the quarterback. Actually, it doesn't matter because Jalen Hurts is 26-2 as a starter at Alabama. So if he starts, it's fine. Eventually, he's not going to. It's Tua. Tua is the better quarterback. Tua is a Heisman favorite. He is the better quarterback. He's by far the better quarterback.
You know, you dig into the numbers, and this Alabama offense was outstanding last year, and I don't think people realize that they were fourth in overall offensive efficiency last year. So you say, okay, we can swap out the quarterback with someone who might be better. This offense and this team might be better than anyone ever expected anyway. Like, this might be one of those situations where once Tua gets the spot and he's the guy and the offense starts rolling, it might be they're the best team in the country, and everyone else is playing for the final three positions in the college football playoff, and you're trying to avoid the last spot so you don't have to play Alabama in that first playoff game.
I personally believe that Tua will start and not come out. I think that Saban is going to say, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have Tua, and until he proves otherwise, we're going to keep him as a starter.
That's just mean. Saban just did that so Hurts doesn't transfer. That's mean.
He's
going to
transfer at the end of the year
anyway.
Saban. He's going to transfer at the end of the year anyway.
But I think that's why he's doing this, why he's playing very close to the guest.
Of course, of course.
If he thinks that Tagovailoa is the future, cool. But he says that both are going to play. He said both are going to play in this game against Louisville. And if they get an extended lead, I think you will see Jalen Hurts at some
absolutely
point. So that's just – it's interesting how this has all developed the last couple of weeks and who's going to play, who's going to – because the Alabama press has been all over it. And so either way, this should be a win for Alabama.
Win the team.
Win the team.
You sound like you're straight out of Varsity Blues
win
or something like that.
Win the team.
We're SEC guys. Sometimes we're just kind of going to the Southern draw.
Just got to win the team.
Hey,
got Hood over here. He's also a Tennessee guy. We just kind of just get it. We just kind of just talking to Southern draw.
Down here, it just means more. Unless you're Washington, in which case it means a lot. Today means a lot more.
Well, it looks like the Pac-12's hopes are just going up in smoke left and right here today.
Yeah, right. With 5 minutes left for the half, Auburn leading Washington 12-6. All right, coming up, we will hear from Steve Silverman from Bleacher Report, getting his thoughts on some of the night games for week one, and also get his thoughts on Khalil Mack being with the Chicago Bears. That's next with Chris and Adam. It's Jonathan, Chicago's College Tailgate, live from the Four Winds Casino in South Bend on ESPN 1000.
This is your home for Chicago's College Tailgate and the home for Fighting Irish football, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
You're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Along with Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah, Jonathan Hood with you as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino at the K&K Grill. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ESPN1000CCT and also on the Facebook page. Look for Chicago's College Tailgate on the Facebook page as well. We've got giveaways as well here at the Four Winds Casino.
That's right. We just gave away a pair of tickets to Notre Dame and Vanderbilt September 15th. We have two pairs of tickets left for the Ball State game September 8th coming up next weekend. All brought to you by the Four Winds Casino in South Bend, Four Seasons Heating and Cooling, ZipRecruiter, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
So a big move by the Chicago Bears is they trade for Khalil Mack, Chris. And to me, I just think that you have to look for a difference maker. If he's available, you go for it. The Bears defense, I think, already was pretty solid. But having someone like Khalil Mack, the genuine article, a guy that can really increase what you're already doing defensively, no matter what you're giving up for it, I think it's a win-win. That's more valuable right now than the draft picks.
And I love the move, Jonathan, because we're in a big city with real aspirations of being a championship contender, right? And if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you wake up today, you find out that the Bears have now traded for Khalil Mack. You have a legit star on your defensive line, and you have someone that can go after, get the quarterback, one of the top five defensive players in all the league, and now you have him on the lakefront. And it's fantastic for this defense because many of us, even though some of the stats said that this team was a top 10 defense in efficiency rating, DVOA, they were 14th, so about middle of the pack, just a little bit above average. You look at it overall, this is a fantastic move for the Chicago Bears. And once again, Ryan Pace sees something he wants, he goes and gets the deal done.
College football tailgate. Glad that you're with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We turn now to Bleacher Report and also CBS, and then we go to Steve Silverman. He's with us on Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino here in South Bend. Steve, Jonathan, Adam, and Chris, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Before we get your college football information, we want to get your thoughts on Khalil Mack. When you saw the news that the Bears have traded for Khalil Mack, what was your initial reaction?
My first reaction was, wow, this guy is a game changer on defense, and he will give the Bears a presence they haven't had on defense for a while. They have a good defense to begin with, but good in small letters. Khalil Mack is a butt kicker. He will come in there. He will get his sacks. He will make everyone around that team even more dangerous than they are. I think it's really good news for Leonard Floyd and, you know, Akeem Hicks, a tremendous pro as it is. But you have this guy around, the Bears suddenly are a dangerous defensive team, and if they don't screw things up too much on offense, they could have a winning record this year. It's big news on the lakefront.
Speaking of offense, what does this move and giving up the first two-round picks say about their commitment to Mitchell Trubisky?
It's more Adam Gase saying, we better win now or I'm not going to have a job much longer. That's what it says to me. And it also says, you know, if they can have a winning season, if they can, you know, pick it up just a little bit, well, how are you going to make your improvements in the future? I think it's going to have to be through free agency and really good middle and late round drafting, because you're not going to have those first rounders. So, you know, there's ways around it, but the big improvement must come right away.
Steve, when you take a look at this defense, adding Khalil Mack, how good can the defense be? Can it be at the same level that Minnesota, Philadelphia, the Rams were last season? Can they be that good?
I think they can be, you know, somewhere after the top five. You know, it's going to take a while for everybody to mesh. Khalil Mack holding out all summer, coming to a new team. He's not going to be at his best in September. And there could be some games early on where the defense doesn't look good. But they need to find their stride sometime in October, you know, back to the old Lovie Smith way of looking at the season in the second quarter of the season. That's when they really have to find their stride and then really sprint the last half of the year and become very, very good. I mean, by that point, who knows? You know, it'll take them a while to get to their best. But I think that once he gets used to the team, his teammates, and we haven't even talked about it. You know, the fact that Vic Fangio is the defensive coordinator, you have one of the best defensive coordinators, makes this defense even that much better.
Steve Silverman from Bleacher Report and CBS with Jonathan, Adam, and Chris as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino at the Kankakee Grill, Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Steve, as we look forward to Michigan-Notre Dame, that's why we're here in South Bend here, what is your outlook for the game, especially from a number standpoint? Do you have Michigan? Is it 2.5? How did you see that number coming in, and what are your thoughts on the game?
Well, you know, if we look at it from a personnel standpoint, I think that line is right. I think even though Michigan's on the road, I just think that defense looks so good right now for Michigan. I think that's going to be the strongest part of the team. And I think both of these teams are built very similar. Notre Dame has a good defense, and that should be their strongest part. But I think Michigan looks stronger I like Shea Patterson, the quarterback coming in from Michigan, you know, the transfer. I think he's good, but he needs to be better than good if this is going to be a great season for Michigan. But here are some of the interesting numbers. Michigan is 10-1 straight up in their last 11 games as a road favorite. So, you know, that works in their favor. But what works against them, this game is at Notre Dame, and the visiting team is 3-13 in this series. You know, they haven't played for a while, but the visitors haven't fared well. So in this game, I really look at it more from a personnel standpoint than from the numbers breakdown, because they're about even both ways. So I'm taking Michigan minus the 2.5 points in this game.
This early in the season, what metric do you turn to the most when making your selections, whether it be for Michigan, Notre Dame, or any other game this first weekend of college football?
I think, you know, basically you do have to look at the numbers and the trends. I've always liked the trends quite a bit, especially in college football, a little bit more than the pros. And I think early in the season, it's hard to make those personnel judgments on most teams. But I think these two teams are close. I think these two teams, you know, you really have a good feel for them because they're national teams and they're always under the microscope. So we have to look at it from a personnel standpoint. But, for example, we're, you know, at the same time that Michigan and Notre Dame are playing, Louisville's playing Alabama. And I am not going to go against Alabama in the opener, 9-1 against the spread in their last 10 openers. And, you know, the very best team in the country with the very best coach, that makes me say I'm going with Alabama. I will swallow hard and lay the 23.5 points there.
Sunday night, you have Miami and LSU. That should be a closer game, and it's a closer line. Which way are you leaning between the Hurricanes and the Tigers tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think that is a very, very tight game, but I like the home team. You know, we're going to Death Valley. They're underdogs at home, 3.5-point underdogs, so I think you got to go with LSU in that game. Although, you know, the turnover chain crew, if they get a couple early, that could blow up in our faces big time. But I like LSU at home in Death Valley. That's usually a good way to go. So, and like I said, early in the season, we like to go with those trends. And LSU is a home dog. That's a good one. And I know, guys, you know, a lot of fans for the late games tonight, they'll be looking to catch up. And we always like to look at Hawaii. And Hawaii's a 10.5-point home underdog to Navy. Yeah. That game I'm staying away from. But Arizona's a 10-point home favorite to BYU. Give me BYU and the 10. Well, that's the game that'll save us tonight. BYU plus 10.
Always need a little something extra.
A little safety game.
Got to catch up.
Yeah, the safety game.
Okay, how about this? How about this, Steve? I said this earlier. Tell me if you agree. Washington right now is trailing Auburn. I said that if Washington can't win this game, that this will be negative for the Pac-12, in which the Pac-12 will not be able to have someone in the Final Four and a chance for the national championship. If Washington loses, there won't be a Pac-12 team in the Final Four.
Well, the Pac-12 has not exactly been a glamour conference in terms of having a shot at the national title in recent years. When Washington got to the playoffs, they got absolutely destroyed a couple of years ago. So even if they win this game, you know, do they have the consistency to go through a whole season losing no more than one game? And I think they're, you know, by far and away the best team in the Pac-12 this year. So I doubt very much they will get there. And the fact that they're hanging in there with Auburn is a pretty good sign so far. But will they last 60 minutes? I tend to doubt it today.
Going back to Michigan-Notre Dame, it's going to be, like you mentioned, a battle of the defenses since we don't know really what we're getting from the quarterback position. It's supposed to be a little bit rainy later on in South Bend. What do you make of the total at 46 right now?
That's tough. I like both defenses, but you know, if either one of the quarterbacks get off to a good start, there could be a lot more scoring than we're expecting. And you know, 27-24 puts it over the total. So I think, you know, this game is very likely 23-17. I'm leaning more towards the under, but that's always a really tough call early in the season. I feel pretty confident about Michigan. I think they are the better team, you know, the more spectacular defense. So they are likely to play a stronger game and not give up the big plays. But you get a couple of defensive touchdowns, that turns things around as well. So I would much more concentrate on the game itself than the total. But if push comes to shove, I guess I will take the under.
Steve, as always, we appreciate your time, and we'll continue to read you on Bleacher Report. Thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime, guys. Happy to do it, and enjoy your show.
Absolutely. Steve Silverman from Bleacher Report and CBS with us on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Chris, and Adam broadcasting live from the Kankakee Grill at the Four Winds Casino here in South Bend, Indiana. So glad that you're with us. And we are ready for a scoreboard here. We got to keep people up to date with what's going on. There's a couple of games a little closer than I thought, Chris. Let's get to that now.
You're so mean. All right, here's the college football scoreboard, Jonathan. And as you're talking about, Washington just scored. The score is now 15-13. Auburn with the lead. About 40 seconds left in the second quarter, about to head to halftime. So Washington's only down by two now in that one. And we were just talking about it, guys, how Washington needs this game if they want someone from the Pac-12 to get to the college football playoff because, again, it's closer than the experts think. 9 minutes left in the second quarter. UNLV leads USC 14-12. USC can only kick field goals, apparently, this season. Texas Maryland still playing. 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Texas is down by five, 34-29. Abdallah, I hear you laughing over there. Stop laughing at USC. It's pathetic.
You're handling this a lot better than I would if Alabama would be losing.
Sir, at halftime, Penn State, Appalachian State tied at 10. Washington, West Virginia, Tennessee, West Virginia 13-7 at halftime. And in the Big Ten, Iowa is playing Northern Illinois right now. They're at halftime as well, 3-0 Iowa. I mean, but listen, here's the deal with USC.
Did you give the Georgia score?
Georgia's at halftime as well, Jonathan. Georgia's up big. Georgia's up 38-0 on Austin Peay.
How about you schedule harder games?
That's a tough P team. Tell you that right now. That P team is tough.
So what did I tell you guys when we started here? USC always underperforms. They have a true freshman quarterback, JT Daniels. Right now on the day, he's 9 of 16, 80 yards. It seems as if USC cannot do anything once they get near the red zone. They have four field goals, 12 points, and they've given up 14. The UNLV, a team that is not very good. This is disaster on the horizon for the Pac-12 right now. USC losing to UNLV and Washington down to Auburn before halftime.
Yeah, it's not a good look for the Pac-12, especially with Oregon State going down, and you've got, I mean, Oregon could be decent this year, but all hopes rely on this Washington-Auburn game, as Washington now trailing Auburn 15-13. Still early, though, a whole half of football left.
I like that Appalachian State, because you always need that one or two, right, in the first couple weeks of the season. Like, you remember Michigan losing to with NJIT, was it? No, they lost.
That was Appalachian State.
Appalachian State, right? So 10-10 at the half. Penn State.
Trace McSorley is 9 for 17 with only 69 yards right now in the first half.
I already crossed off Washington from my my playoff teams. Don't make me cross off Trace McSorley from my Heisman.
This is unbelievable.
I don't want to have to do that. Because right now we're keeping an eye on the Washington-Auburn game. Auburn just looks like the better team right now. They look like the more physical team. They look like they have been handling Washington the way Washington usually gets handled by Big Ten teams and by SEC teams, and that is they usually are struggling to score, not being able to run the ball, and struggling on offense altogether. And that's what we've seen so far in this game. As Auburn leads Washington a few seconds before halftime here, 15-13.
You all right, buddy?
Well, I mean, the USC secondary is Swiss cheese, and we knew that last year. They can't do anything, and we're seeing highlights now of UNLV just tearing them up for the two touchdowns that they have. All right. I mean, this is going to be a problem this season.
It's like a soft avocado out there at USC.
You are listening
brown.
To Chicago.
Brown avocado.
I resemble that remark. As you're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000.
Mushy.
ESPN
you resemble app. That.
Mushy.
Along
a mushy avocado.
Along with Adam and Chris, Jonathan Hood with you as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino here in South Bend. Let's take a look at guys at the Heisman Watch. You mentioned Trace McSorley again. Because James Franklin's overrated. He's going to be able to try to get the job done here with Penn State. Well, how do you see the Heisman Watch, Chris?
Okay, so in the first couple of days of the season, Mackenzie Milton was fantastic for Central Florida. I think that's someone who we have to watch at quarterback because he went 24 of 32 with 346 yards, five touchdowns on Thursday night against UConn. I know UConn's not that great, but putting up the 56 points and looking really good, Central Florida looking like the national champs they were last season with their undefeated season. I know. Did you hear that, Abdallah? I think that's someone we have to watch, Mackenzie Milton. And then also last night, Friday night, Jonathan Taylor was pretty good as well. 18 carries, 145 yards, two touchdowns as Wisconsin beat Western Kentucky 34-13 last night.
Anything that stands out to you, Adam, as far as the Heisman Watch is concerned?
Well, Tua hasn't played yet.
Okay.
Thanks for helping with the segment, Abdallah.
I saw him as a 4-1 favorite. Was Adam the Heisman?
Yeah, he hasn't. I don't know if he's going to start tonight, but he has not played yet. So as of right now, the Heisman favorite has yet to take the field. If you look at Bryce Love, he went 18 carries for 29 yards yesterday. So I don't know if that takes him out of the running against the San Diego State team, but it certainly doesn't help his cause. And then I like Trace McSorley because I liked Penn State's chances this year so far, tied with Appalachian State. That could change as they go into the second half, but I think Trace McSorley is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I think if Penn State can make the playoff, they're one of my sneaky playoff teams. If they can make the playoff, it will be because he has to have a Heisman-like season. So if my theories are correct that they could make the playoff, then I think he can be a Heisman candidate. So that's my list right now.
A couple other names you may hear with the Heisman conversation. Will Greer for West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So far today, he's 9 of 15, 154 yards and a touchdown as West Virginia leads Tennessee 13-7. You also might hear Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback for Clemson, that he didn't start the game. Brian Kelly started the game.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence comes in. He goes 9 of 15, 137 yards, three touchdowns for Clemson. So I get they didn't play anyone. They played Furman.
But it's quarterback controversy there at Clemson and who to play. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Dwayne Haskins for Ohio State today had five touchdowns. He went 22 of 30, 313 yards. So the quarterback for the Buckeyes, five touchdowns today as Ohio State beats Oregon State 77-31.
So how do you guys look at the Big Ten? Again, it's early here, but we've already saw on Thursday how Northwestern was able to go on the road and be able to win, as well as Michigan State last night as Adam was sweating it out. We're keeping our eyes on Michigan State as they defeated Utah State 38-31. So, Mark D'Antonio, it's just can you give me a dominant Michigan State season?
Never. Always struggle. Early in the season, they always struggle. It's always a struggle for Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it comes out as a victory, but boy, I tell you, you almost want to go the other way from a gambling standpoint because Michigan State keeps it so close.
The positive with Sparty, though, is they do that with anyone. If they're playing the best team in the country, they keep it close. If they're playing someone that's terrible, they keep it close. And that's the positive, I think. Isn't that the nice way to look at it?
A win, you'll take it, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
But are you restaurant quality when it comes to being in the Final Four, if you even get there to the top?
Well, Jonathan, a lot of hype around this team, especially in the last couple of weeks, as everyone started to do their previews and talk about schedules, and you look at the Big Ten, especially the Big Ten East. A lot of people are suggesting that Michigan State is a team that could get to the playoff at some point in this season.
I think that the cream is going to rise to the top, though. That's how it always is.
It's just Wisconsin, Ohio State.
Wisconsin won 34-3, and then we all know what Ohio State did today, beating up on Oregon State, 77 points from Ohio State to 31, beating Oregon State. So those are the two best teams, and I think that they're going to remain the two best teams. Yeah, Penn State might win a few games. I think that if they can beat Ohio State, I think if they can win their schedule, I think that they can make it to the playoff. They're a team that is good enough and have a good enough schedule that they could. Wisconsin, might be not be as good as they were last season, but I still think Ohio State's the best team.
I think when it comes to Wisconsin, Chris, you know, the big question I had coming into the season was, will there be a situation where Wisconsin is in the title picture under Paul Chryst? In the Paul Chryst era, will there be a Wisconsin team we will see in the Final Four? I think that there is a lid on their success. 122 wins over the last 12 years. You'll like it, right? In the post-Alvarez era. You take a look at what they've done in the top 25. You know, it's just, to me, being in round 10 or 12 is good, but it's not where Wisconsin should be. Again, we can talk about their schedule and make fun of Wisconsin, but anytime that you're in the same stratosphere as Ohio State in the Big Ten, you know, you're a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and Alex Hornibrook is what we're going to look at and focus on with Wisconsin, because you know the running backs there. Jonathan Taylor's fantastic. He'll be a Heisman candidate. You know that Wisconsin has great line play, both offensive and defensive line play. And the way this team has been the last couple of years, they're always solid, but whether or not you get something from the quarterback, Alex Hornibrook last night, he gave you 17 of 29, 257 yards, two touchdowns. Wisconsin was pretty good last night, again, playing Western Kentucky, but they looked sharp last night.
Saturday, October 13th, that's their game, on the road at Michigan. That's your measuring stick for Wisconsin. Can you go in and can that offense move the ball against one of the top defenses in the country? That's your measuring stick game. If you go in and you beat Michigan and you remain undefeated the rest of the season, I know they still have to go to Northwestern and then they have to go to Penn State. But for me, that measuring stick game against a top defense is going to be October 13th against Michigan.
You're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let's hear from Anthony Heron. Ant Heron was on with me not too long ago, and he looked at Michigan and Notre Dame. And Anthony Heron from the Pac-12 Network, and does a great job covering college football, talks about the enormity of tonight's game.
Michigan-Notre Dame, which we haven't gotten to see for a couple of seasons now, that's a game that's going to initially set the table for the winner of that game to be perceived in a way that'll have them right in the thick of the college football playoff hunt. But then especially for a team like Michigan, you know, Notre Dame is going to have a certain level of cash and respect coming into the season because of what Brandon Wimbush brings back and, you know, because of the success they came off of from last year. But then especially for Michigan, win or lose, if they compete well, and especially in a victory, if Notre Dame goes on to have a successful season, then you'll see the ripple effects of Michigan in a non-conference game opening the season against a very tough opponent and what that'll do for their perception around the Big Ten and how the rest of the teams that Michigan ends up facing throughout the rest of the year. The fact that they were able to beat Notre Dame in the opener, if they pull that one off, then that game will have ripple effects that will affect the entire Big Ten conference. I think for Notre Dame, their situation's a bit different, but you know, it's all basically non-conference for the Irish as the Independents, so they still got Stanford on the schedule. They've got an interesting game against Northwestern mixed in there somewhere. And then in November, I think they've dealt with Florida State and USC that come up on the November portion of their schedule. So there's going to be a number of different opportunities, even if there's a loss early on for the Irish. But if they can look good, and especially finishing strong with some tough opponents, who even a team like Northwestern could potentially be somewhere ranked or at least looking good in the Big Ten slate. So overall, their finish, their November is going to have, Notre Dame's a one-loss team going into November, I think they're still going to be right there in the thick of things when you look at the college football playoff picture.
Chicago's College Tailgate. The CCT Scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
I'm Chris Black on ESPN 1000, Chicago's College Tailgate. Here's the scoreboard right now. Maryland, with a minute left, up 5, 34-29 on Texas. Georgia at halftime, 38-0 on Austin Peay. Auburn and Washington at halftime, Auburn 15-13 over Washington. Hey, how about this? USC finally gets on the board and scores. Number 15, USC, is up 19-14 with a minute left in the second quarter on UNLV. Other scores to take a look at right now, Penn State and Appalachian State tied at 10, a couple minutes into the third quarter right now. For Penn State, they are tied at the moment. West Virginia and Tennessee, guys, delayed because of weather, out of halftime, 13-7 for West Virginia. We're also keeping our eyes on Northern Illinois and Iowa. Right now, still a three-point ball game, Iowa 3, Northern Illinois nothing in the third quarter.
You're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah, Jonathan Hood with you, as we broadcast live from the Four Winds Casino here in South Bend at the KEK Grill. We've got some terrific giveaways here at the Four Winds Casino as well.
That's right. We have two pairs of tickets to Notre Dame and Ball State next weekend, September 8th. Two pairs. All brought to you by the Four Winds Casino in South Bend, Four Seasons Heating and Cooling, ZipRecruiter, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Adam Rittenberg covers college football like a blanket for ESPN.com, and he joins us here on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000. He's in South Bend. Adam, it is Jonathan, Adam, and Chris. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, you bet, guys. Great to be on with you. It should be a fun night here of college football. Big opening night here for Notre Dame and Michigan.
I have a question that's going to be good for your podcast, I believe. This is a topic that we're going to bring up here with you, and then maybe this would be good for your podcast for next week. Do you think that the college football do you think the college football playoff has rendered bowl games as a consolation prize?
Well, it depends on the situation. I think it certainly diminished the prestige around some games that held higher prestige maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago. But I think for programs that maybe haven't been in a certain game or striving for a historical 10-win season, I mean, you know, just the team here tonight, Notre Dame, that was a significant win for them. They hadn't had a, you know, quote-unquote New Year's Day bowl win for quite some time here at Notre Dame, and you know they struggled down the stretch last year, and so to win that game against LSU, especially in the fashion that they did, and talking to the coaches and players, that gave them momentum into the offseason, especially when they bring back so many players who were part of that. I mean, Boykin, who had the touchdown catch, he's here. Ian Booker threw the pass. You know, he could see some action tonight at quarterback. So that those games still matter, but I would say certainly the overall prestige of bowl games, it just isn't what it used to be because there's only attention at that time of year on the actual playoff.
Michigan has a much tougher road to the college football playoff than Notre Dame. They have a very tough schedule facing the Big Ten. Is this the toughest schedule that Harbaugh has had to face in his career?
You know, it might be. I hadn't thought about it like that. You know, they had a tough schedule a couple of years ago in 2016 and nearly got to the Big Ten championship game with a chance to get in the playoff. But if you think about Notre Dame, a legitimate top 15, maybe top 10 team on the road, you know they're going to face Michigan State. It didn't look very good last night, Michigan State, but that's always a tough game. Michigan State's really controlled that rivalry in recent years. And then they obviously have to go to Ohio State, you know, a team that they haven't won there in quite some time. They have to go to Northwestern at the end of the month. And there's just not very many easy games, Wisconsin and Penn State both coming to the Big House. So very few weeks where Michigan can just take it easy. They're going to be tested here pretty much every week, and that's why tonight's so important because they haven't won a really meaningful road game in a long time, maybe more than a decade, as far as against a top 15 team. And that's the one thing Jim Harbaugh hasn't done well. So it's why this game is so critical for them.
Looking at Shea Patterson, now that he's the new quarterback at Michigan, it's not like he set the world on fire last year at Ole Miss. What are you expecting from the new quarterback at Michigan, Shea Patterson? What are you expecting tonight and for the entire season?
Touching Ole Miss offense today, they were just fine without him, but I think he's certainly a talented guy. To me, it really depends on the system that they run for him and how it changes some type of offenses that we've grown accustomed to Jim Harbaugh running there at Michigan. Yeah, I think the key is really how it looks to start, and then if there's some struggles.
Did we lose Adam? I think we might have to reconnect with Adam Rittenberg. He's in South Bend.
See, he's in South Bend. Too many Michigan questions, not enough Irish questions. Fighting Irish questions.
That was going to be my next question was going to be an Irish question, but interesting thoughts he's had so far.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the way Michigan's offense is. They were disappointing last year, and then for yards per play last season, they were 102nd in the entire country. That's not good at any program, right? And especially with Jim Harbaugh, and you look at the way this team is supposed to be improved on offense, the way they're supposed to be competing in the Big 12, Big 10, and especially Big 10 East, you need to get more production on offense, and that's something that we're going to look at the quarterback position the entire season in Shea Patterson.
The key for Notre Dame tonight is going to be containing Shea Patterson. Better outside of the pocket than he is inside the pocket. You have to keep him in there and force him to make decisions and go through his routes and make decisions from inside the pocket, because once he gets outside, he was 26 of 43 outside of the pocket for 423 yards last season, four touchdowns. He's good on the run. He's not a threat to run, but he's good when he's going side to side. It can make a play out of nowhere happen when stuff starts to break down, when his pocket breaks down, which happened a lot at Ole Miss.
Well, he's a dual threat quarterback that doesn't run, which means if he's trying to get outside of the pocket, you know he's not going to run, then how much of a threat is he? Right? Like, we went over the numbers last year.
He ran the ball 47 times for minus 16 yards. So it's not like that he's going to break out and take advantage of the fact that he's outside the pocket. He is a better passer at that point, but it's not like he's going to hurt you downfield like Brandon Wimbush will, because he is a good runner with the football.
Adam Rittenberg is in South Bend here on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN1000CCT. In the early games here for week one, Adam, anything stand out to you?
Well, definitely Maryland's win over Texas. The second straight year that they beat them, but under completely different circumstances. You're losing their teammate, Jordan McNair, early in the summer. You're having to deal with the coaching situation, their head coach on administrative leave. After some of our reporting in August, and Matt Canada, you can't give him enough credit for what he did and those players to perform the way they did today. They were the better team. They took control of the game. They had to hold Texas off there in the fourth quarter a couple of times when the offense wasn't really clicking. And for them to start the season that way after everything that they've been through from an emotional standpoint, it's really important. It's really impressive the way that those players and coaches performed.
Was this Ohio State's reminder that it's them and everybody else in the Big Ten?
You know, I don't know. Oregon State's a new coaching staff and not a very good team at this point. But I'll say this. I think Dwayne Haskins has a chance to be pretty special for Ohio State. You know, JT Barrett, I think, had so much respect of all of us who covered him as a leader, as a guy who was, you know, fought through injury and some other adversity. But there were clear limitations in his game as a passer. And so the thought was Haskins might not be the leader that JT is, but he's got everything else. And you saw it today, just what he can do with that receiving core, which is the deepest that they've had there, certainly in Urban Meyer's tenure, and maybe ever, as far as experienced, talented receivers. So Mike Weber, a huge performance, but I really think Ohio State can get a lot of guys involved in the passing game and do more in the passing game because of what Dwayne Haskins brings to the table.
Adam, you take a look at the other big game tonight, Louisville and Alabama. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, probably pretty ugly for Louisville. Now, you know, unless they've made some significant changes along their offensive line, and one of their offensive linemen thinks that they can dominate Alabama, or at least has a chance to dominate Alabama, that's a pretty tall order. That's a Louisville offensive line, kind of like Michigan's, that's underachieved. But maybe they've improved. They have a lot of confidence in Juwan Pass at quarterback, a highly rated recruit. They have a good receiving core. But unless you're able to attack that new look Alabama secondary, it's really a completely different group of guys in the back end for Nick Saban. I think it's going to be a long night. Alabama's going to run the ball. I think if Tua is the quarterback, I would expect him to get most of the snaps. Alabama will get more guys involved in the passing game. It's kind of like Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, in that Tua, because of his skills, you know, they're able to get, you know, four, five, six guys involved on a regular basis catching the football, as opposed to last year when they went into the playoffs with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, and they had one receiver, essentially. Calvin Ridley had 55 catches. The next guy had, like, 14. And that bothered them. So I think Tua is the guy to get them to the next level from an offensive standpoint.
Adam, lastly, with Clemson, the second winningest program since 2011, a defensive line, they've got all their returning starters. They got 30 seniors on this football team. How close is Clemson to Alabama, in your view?
Very, very close, Jonathan. I would say this, though. Alabama, you saw it just as I did. I was down in New Orleans. Alabama dominated that offensive line of Clemson. And I don't know if that unit is where it needs to be for them to take down an Alabama in a game like that. But everything else, defensive line, you know, quarterback play, having multiple options there. Clemson's terrific at receiver. They have multiple running backs. They're pretty good in the back end on defense, but is their offensive line able to withstand that Alabama defensive front in a playoff-type setting? That I don't know, because you saw them just get dominated last year in the semifinal.
Well, Adam, as always, we appreciate your time. We'll be listening on the podcast as well, the Campus Conversation podcast. You can download that wherever you find your podcast. Listen to Adam and many others that cover college football. Adam, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
I'd appreciate you guys. Enjoy the games tonight.
Absolutely. From South Bend, it is Adam Rittenberg with us covering Michigan and Notre Dame. He's with us on Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000.
So, guys, we already have a final that will probably knock someone out of the top 25. We're in the first weekend of the season, and it looks like Texas will be the first one bounced from the top 25 as they lose to Maryland 34-29. Tom Herman starts year two with a loss to Maryland.
Put the mongrel on the ground.
Put that mongrel in the ground.
Hook 'em horns down to the ground.
Maryland, the cloud of controversy over that program, clearly, but yet still being able to get to an entitled program like Texas. Still, with the controversy, still being able to get out a victory against Texas.
And when you look at Texas, it'll be good next week when USC looks to get their first victory when they head to Texas to face Tom Herman in his second year with the Longhorns.
That's what you're going to do here?
Matt Canada can coach, my God.
Here's the thing about
Matt
Texas,
Canada.
Too. If you take a look at last season, 7-6, their over-under for this year was 8.5 wins. If you were holding an over ticket, you're in trouble because not only did you lose today, they have the fourth toughest strength of schedule in the entire country. So it doesn't get easier for Texas. Abdal mentioned next week they're going to play USC as well. So then you have this situation shaping up where you're going to lose in September at least two games probably. Yeah. Because their schedule is tough. I mean, this is a Texas program that we were told by everyone covering college football that they're going to be back, right? They can compete in the Big 12. Oklahoma may be challenged. You know TCU's going to be
like
there.
That.
West Virginia's up in their game against Tennessee. And Texas loses to Maryland? With hot name Herman?
The mighty Big Ten strikes again, Chris.
Well, you might as well have stayed at Houston.
Got to keep in mind that the game was on the road for the Longhorns.
Oh, neutral site location, though. They played at the Redskins Stadium.
Please, reparations for the Longhorn Network. Try to get your money back if you can.
Proud product from ESPN, but still. Lord. Wow.
We'll have a scoreboard for you coming up in a moment. Oh. Along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you. Our coverage of college football with our Chicago College Tailgate show continues.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
I'm Chris Black here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Here's your Chicago's College Tailgate scoreboard. Georgia a big 38-0 on Austin Peay. 10:30 left in the third quarter. We just talked about it. Maryland, they beat Texas 34-29. Texas, 23rd-ranked team in the country, probably will not be ranked after this weekend as Maryland gets the big victory, 34-29. Washington with the ball and driving. 10 minutes left to go in the third quarter. They're down 2 to Auburn, 15-13. USC at halftime, up on UNLV, 19-14. They found a way to not just kick field goals, guys. UNLV really closer than the experts think with the USC Trojans right now at the half. You also have Penn State up 17-10 on Appalachian State with 6:21 left in the third quarter.
Struggle.
Delayed in a weather situation. West Virginia's up on Tennessee at the moment. They are waiting to start the third quarter. It's 13-7 in that game as they are in a delay. In the Big Ten also, we have our eyes on Iowa. They're up 10-0 on Northern Illinois with 5 minutes left in the third quarter as Washington just scores, and they are up now on Auburn 19-15.
And a shout-out to the bearded Lovie Smith. ILL, getting the job done. Getting the job done. Big tough big tough matchup today at home to open the season against Kent State.
Yes.
Eking out the win 31-24.
Eking is correct. That was not.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. Our buddy Pete Futek said, don't worry about it. Don't overthink this thing. Illinois is going to win. That's fine. Do you have the number on that? Do you know what that number was before the game?
Oh, the
tight, right?
The spread?
Yeah, I can look it up. Give me a minute.
Was that game? I think that was a tight number. Now, my thought is.
That number opened as a pick 'em.
What? Against Kent State?
No. I'll take your questions.
Minus 15. Illinois was favored by 15.
Can I just give some advice here? I know our gambling segment is at the top, our pick segment. You go against Illinois every single game.
Yeah.
Every single game.
I bet the over-under for the season was 3.5. I went under.
That's what Howard Griffin would tell you. For the Big Ten Network.
You know, the Football Power Index for ESPN only suggested that Illinois is going to win 3.9 games. So you're looking at 3 to 4 games that they will win. The over-under was 3.5. So Abdallah is saying under, even though the FBI is only suggesting that they maybe win 1/3. So
they've got they won this game, and then who do they face next?
Western, then it's going to be South Florida at Soldier Field.
Find me another win after the first two games.
Well, again, South Florida is going to be at Soldier Field.
Okay.
Penn State, Rutgers, Purdue, Wisconsin, Maryland, Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa against Northwestern.
Yeah.
I mean, you might eke out something against Rutgers, and that's going to be on the road, I believe, yes.
Let me ask you this question. What will last longer, this show or Lovie Smith at Illinois?
Yes.
I mean, they went all in on Lovie Smith. That's a six-year deal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
This is year three?
Mm-hmm.
And to update.
This is year four, but he came in so late, they made the hire so late that he couldn't recruit his first year. So he's only had 3 years of his players.
This is not and I know that somewhere down the line, all the other hosts are going to have this deep conversation about Illinois. This is not a deep conversation because in college football, you're the one that buys the groceries, you got to cook the meal. Mm-hmm. If you can't get it done, you just can't get it done. You're fired.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. There is no black and white to it.
Yeah.
Either you can get it done or you can't. So, and here's a guy here. And by the way, when Lovie can't get it done, this will be his last opportunity to coach.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is it here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like Ed Orgeron at LSU.
Yeah.
Your dream job is at LSU. If you fail at LSU, this is it now.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, there is no, well, let's give this guy another second chance. No, same thing with Lovie. Lovie, if he's going to stay in football, if he cannot turn that around, he's done as a head coach on any level.
To update one score, Washington's touchdown was called back on a offensive pick play. So they brought it back. Then they went to kick a field goal. A 40-yard field goal was missed. So Auburn's still in the lead, 15-13 on Washington.
What's the matter? Why'd you put the headphones out? What are you doing?
This is supposed to be a playoff team.
Hey, Auburn's a tough squad. What's your deal? Why don't you like Gus Malzahn?
Listen, he's tricky, that Gus Malzahn.
So you have to understand, Chris, for Adam and I, it's always personal when an SEC team underachieves because you're working with a Georgia fan and an Alabama fan. You've
got to make the conference better, Chris.
Yeah. Well, see, guys, let me teach you something about rooting for teams on the West Coast. They always disappoint you. So the fact that this is a struggle against Auburn right now is not a surprise for Washington. Just like USC is barely squeaking by UNLV right now at the half, 19-14. I mean, that's pathetic.
I don't even need the rest of this game to cross Washington out of my playoff.
Because if they get a victory here, that it doesn't matter. It's a close game. They have every opportunity. They have a good quarterback in Jake Browning. They have the ability to win this game. What's wrong with that?
Let me just you guys, listen. Adam has talked about his Alabama. We gave Alabama a segment. You've talked about your USC and your redneck that we're seeing here where you are having your...
He's angry.
The angry USC fan.
It's not as red now because they're winning.
Can I just talk a little bit about my team, Georgia, for a second?
When they play a real team, yeah.
Don't do that.
I'm kidding.
Don't do that.
I can't do that to my own.
Don't do that.
We can't eat our own.
Don't do that.
Austin Peay would be tough if it was the NCAA tournament. You know, everyone's always picking that 13-seed Austin Peay.
I think UIC beat Austin Peay.
I think they did.
The question is, how good is Georgia? Here's the thing, difference between me and maybe most Georgia fans. I understand what this season is. I don't expect for my team to be in the Final Four, but I do expect for my team to be able to have a high-quality bowl game for this upcoming season. It loses a linebacker. Of course, Roquan Smith is the bear. You've got to be able to replace two NFL starting caliber running backs in Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel, even though we are running back you. The thing is, though, is that you have to replace seven starters on defense and a few key offensive linemen. I believe in what Kirby is doing, but I just know that because of so many changes, there's going to be a little bit of drop-off. Also, you know the teams have keyed in on Jake Fromm now. They've seen enough film on him since the Notre Dame game to find out his positives and negatives. So I just think that they're going to have a terrific recruiting class, linebacker corps. They've already got speed and athleticism. Next year, next couple of years, I could see them in the mix for the Final Four.
The question is not whether or not they're going to be in the mix, because I think Georgia is good enough and Kirby Smart is bringing over the Saban mentality and the process and all that stuff about maintaining continuity and maintaining that elite status. The question is, in the SEC and in recruiting, can you maintain that elite status? Can Georgia always be in the conversation? Or will it just be a cyclical thing, you know, every couple years, Georgia's kind of in it, it comes down to who? Because to me, the SEC, whoever represents the SEC in the college football playoff, is going to come down to the championship game between Georgia and Alabama. Georgia wins, I think they go in. Alabama wins, I think they go in. So can they always make that college football, that SEC championship game to get an opportunity to make the college football playoff.
See, the way I view it is the top of the SEC always has an opportunity to get two because the top of the SEC is that good. So I get it that you're saying these two teams are going to meet. Whoever wins the SEC championship game, they get into the playoff. That's how it's going to work. In my eyes, the rest of the country is playing for two spots because Georgia and Alabama are that good. Now, you can add Clemson into the mix, and then you say, okay, well, that leaves one spot. And I'd say, yeah, probably. You're looking at teams like Notre Dame, Washington, Ohio State, Penn State. These are the teams that are fighting for that last spot because the three teams at the top of the list in college football are that good. And I envy both of your schools. And, Abdallah, I think there's more than enough to go around for two superpowers to be deep in the South.
And it's not a Mark Richt-led team, so I have more of confidence in Kirby Smart to be able to keep them in the hunt than
Think about it. Mark Richt would have lost that game against Baker Mayfield when Oklahoma came back all those times. That would have been a loss for the Dogs, right?
Yeah.
But under this new regime with Kirby Smart, they know how to execute at the end. They know how to get the win. They know how to get there. I think everything is fantastic for your schools. I envy it. My team's struggling with UNLV.
Having said that, I'm scared to death of the South Carolina game next week.
I was just going to say, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Scared to death of
Sandstorm is going to be playing.
That's just a longtime Georgia fan who's still scarred by
scars
the ex-girlfriend. And you're still like, well, I mean, it happened before. It's probably going to happen again.
She won't cheat on me this time.
It really is. It's deep scars from the Richt administration. Whatever goes wrong is going to go wrong. We're going to have a nice December 30th bowl game. Yeah, go Dogs. So sad. All right, coming up, we will have our picks. And also, we'll get a chance to look ahead to Notre Dame and Michigan. That's coming up next, along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Bleck, Jonathan Hood with you. Chicago's College Tailgate, live from the Four Winds Casino at the K&K Grill. This is ESPN 1000.
Best bets of the week. With Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah, here's Jonathan Hood.
Glad you're with us here for Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Bleck, Jonathan Hood with you. We're with you every week right before Notre Dame football. Next Saturday we'll be on from 11 to 1:30 right into the Notre Dame Ball State game.
Should be fantastic, Jonathan. Can't wait to do the show every week. And tonight, what a fantastic game to kick off the season for Notre Dame and the Fighting Irish taking on Michigan. Absolutely fantastic game. Two really good defenses. And it'll be interesting to see which quarterback plays better. Will it be Brandon Wimbush or Shea Patterson, the first time as he's under center for the Michigan Wolverines?
On top of that, Adam, we're keeping our eyes on the Khalil Mack news with the Chicago Bears, as Khalil Mack and the Bears just reached an agreement on a record-setting six-year, $141 million extension, $23.5 million per on the average. That includes a $90 million guarantee for Khalil Mack.
I mean, listen, the Bears got money. If you're going to show it and throw it now, you might as well show it and throw it. You got your quarterback on a rookie deal, so you've got a lot of money to burn, and the Bears have decided to break the bank for Khalil Mack. He's proven, so it's worth it.
So I believe this not only makes it, this is the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. It also, I believe, is the highest paid Bear in Bears history as well. It is the biggest contract the Chicago Bears have ever given out, and it's to Khalil Mack to play defensive end for the Chicago Bears for the next six seasons as he is set and locked in. How about that?
He's 27 years old, so he'll be 33 at the end of the deal. He's in the prime of his career. He's been top three in quarterback pressures the last 3 years. He hasn't missed a game in his four seasons in the NFL. So this is, by all means, I think, worth the money if the Bears have it. Now, we're saying this now. Now think about this 5 years from now, 4 years from now.
For all the right reasons, four seasons as he's able to sign now with the Chicago Bears. Mack is the new highest paid defensive player in NFL history. No one's made more money than Khalil Mack. Wow.
And that's an outstanding thing to kind of think about and take a moment about, but also consider this, he's ours. As Bears fans, like, that's the other thing is, like, add in the fact that today's news of the fact that now he's a Chicago Bear on that defense. I mean, it's fantastic. Includes $90 million guaranteed, a $60 million signing bonus. for Khalil Mack and the Chicago Bears.
How about that? So Khalil Mack officially with the Chicago Bears. And again, we'll take your tweets on that at ESPN1000CCT. Make sure that you follow along and tell people about our Twitter handle at ESPN1000CCT for Chicago's College Tailgate. Also on the Facebook page, facebook.com. Look for Chicago's College Tailgate. All right, I think we heard an open for our segment, right?
Best bets?
Yeah, I think we heard it, but we want to pass along that news.
Listen, when there's money being thrown around in the NFL, we have to address it, but then we should throw around our own. How about that?
Yeah, I think we're going to definitely do that. We're going to take care of you tonight. For those of you that love to be able to go on a certain website or call your guy, if you're still doing the old school thing, calling SD, Special Delivery down in Antigua, we have got you hooked up. We got you all together here for our program. All right, so, Chris, you start off first. What is one of your big plays for the night?
Okay, so I know that we are here in South Bend. I know we are doing the show leading up to Notre Dame football. I love this game because of many reasons. One, it's the defensive, the two sides for Michigan and Notre Dame. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Both teams in defensive yards per play. Michigan last year was fifth in the country. Notre Dame was 25th. Michigan returns 10 starters on defense. Notre Dame returns 9 starters on defense. I feel like this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think Notre Dame's offense is going to be a little bit better in the end. I love getting the points, and the 2.5 of Notre Dame, that's what I'm going to take for my first play, is Notre Dame plus the 2.5.
All right, Adam, what's your big first play?
My first play, I'm going to stick with the Michigan-Notre Dame game. As Chris mentioned, Michigan 0-16 versus AP top 25 teams on the road since 2006. Not that that matters this year. Michigan's best wide receiver, Tariq Black, is out. Both teams are number 2 and number 7, respectively, in S&P plus defense, a metric used to project defenses and offenses. The Notre Dame defense, like Chris said, returns 10 starters on defense. Michigan may have the second best defensive line in the country, just behind Clemson. The over-under has wavered between 46, 45 and a half, 45. I like the under at 46, so I'm going to go with Michigan-Notre Dame under 46.
Okay, for mine, and again, here's what I'm going to need from you, Adam, to see where the current number is. I know what it was when I hit send this morning, but it might have...
Did it move?
It might have moved. So
it may have moved.
It moved?
So the one I have here is UCLA-Cincinnati. That game is that game at 6 o'clock tonight? I know that is a West Coast game in the Pac-12. What time is that game, Chris? For UCLA.
6 o'clock in Central Time. 6 o'clock Central Time.
6 o'clock Central Time for UCLA-Cincinnati.
UCLA is a 14.5-point favorite. The over-under is 63.5.
Okay, I have the under number 1 and number 2. I have Cincinnati, and I got it at 15, but you say 14.5?
14.5.
So I hit send and it hit 15. So I love Cincinnati and the 15 against UCLA. I think looking at what's going on with the Bruins, here's a team here that it was 6-7 last year. I think that it's a rebuilding situation for them. They really were not very good against, especially with the running game. I think that was a big key for them. 116th naturally with the running game. I think they're going to struggle to score. So I think it's the closer than the experts think. I'm going to go Cincinnati in the 15, or as you say, 14.5 against UCLA. Mm-hmm. Chris?
All right, my second pick I will give you guys tomorrow night, a little Sunday night football college style. ABC television, you have Miami, number 8 in the country, against LSU, 25th team in the country. This is a neutral site game in Arlington, Texas. So it's a big recruiting game for LSU because they often go into Texas and try and recruit over to the Bayou, right? So take a look at the two teams last year. Both yards per play, they were 37th for Miami, 34th for LSU. Defensive yards per play, Miami was 9th, LSU was 26th. I like the fact that Miami has fifth-year senior Malik Rozier as their quarterback, whereas LSU, they named their starter on Monday, Joe Burrow. He's a grad transfer from Ohio State. It's his first start ever. I like the turnover chain. I like the defense from the Hurricanes. I'm going to take Miami minus the 3.5. I think they cover that, and I'm going to go with the Hurricanes in my second game.
Adam?
You guys know where I'm going. Saban's. Saban's 9-1 in these openers since he came to Alabama against the spread. Louisville only returns 5 starters on defense. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is for Alabama because I think this game is going to be won on the ground. Jalen can hand off as many times as he wants to. If Tua wants to come in and mop up relief, that's fine. I think this is a game that is close in the first quarter as the teams try to figure each other out. I think that Bobby Petrino is going to have a couple trick plays up his sleeve to try to test the young Alabama secondary, but I think this is one of these games where we've watched Alabama all the time, where it's close in the first quarter, maybe 7-0, 7-7, and then eventually you look down, you look up again, it's 21-7. Then you look down, you look up again, it's 35-7. And then eventually Alabama just pulls away. I like Alabama minus 24.
All right. As far as this game is concerned with LSU and Miami, I think that this will be the end for Ed Orgeron, where he sounds like it, he looks the part, but he just is not equipped, I think, to handle a program and get them to a national title or even win the SEC. So I look at this Miami game, and even though I think Miami is the second-best team in the ACC because I think Clemson is head and shoulders above everyone else, I saw the over-under, and again, I'll ask you guys what it is now. I saw the over-under at 46 for this game for Miami and LSU. It stands at 46. I love the under in this game as Miami wins 40-3. So I think that Miami not only is going to win the game, but I also think when I look at the over-under, I think LSU will struggle to score. Give me the under in the Miami-LSU game at 46. Chris?
All right, and then I'll go to Monday Night Football. I'm giving you all the primetime games. So I give you Michigan-Notre Dame, then I give you Miami-LSU. Let's go to Monday Night, Virginia Tech-Florida State. That game, I believe, you can also see on ABC television for that one. And if we take a look at that line, it's 7.5. Florida State is the favorite. I like Florida State because it's Willie Taggart this time and not Jimbo Fisher. And last year, if you take a look at what this Florida State team did overall, is they disappointed. Second of all, against the spread, they were 3-8-1 last season. They didn't have DeAndre Francois. They have him back. New head coach is a dream job for Willie Taggart. I think Florida State makes a statement against their rival Virginia Tech in the opener. I think they cover the minus 7.5.
For all the reasons that I gave you before with Alabama and Louisville, I'm going to take the over as well. It started at 62.5. It is now down to 61, which I like even more when I pulled the trigger at 62.5. So I may be pulling the trigger again here at 61. I like the over in that game. Again, I think that this is a game that just kind of grinds and grinds and grinds. And even though I don't think they're going to put up Ohio State numbers, I don't think Alabama's putting up 77 and covering the over by themselves. I think that they can come close to it against a very inexperienced Louisville defense.
Michigan against Notre Dame. Again, when I saw it early this morning, it was did Notre Dame, was they favored minus two? Coming into this?
Well, really early, they were favored. And then it went all the way through Pick'em to now. All day it was Michigan minus one, minus 1.5, minus two. I believe the line is what, minus 2.5 at
the
moment?
2.5.
It's up to 2.5 right now. Michigan outright is going to win this game against Notre Dame. Oh. That's number one. Number two is that again, there's no question, that Michigan will win this game today. The over-under for this game, what do you have that as at this point in time?
46.
I love the over in this game. Thrilling at the end. I give me the over. Give me Michigan to win this game on the road as Notre Dame starts off 0-1.
Fantastic. All right. That's fantastic.
All right, so let's go over again. And Eric, could you please put this on Twitter, at ESPN1000CCT. We want people to be able to win money because all we're doing is just giving out cash. That's what we do. We just give out cash. We just give the picks, and we're just handing out cash. It is Kwanzaa. It is Christmas in August here.
It's a very solemn Ramadan.
And so it's a solid Ramadan here in September. So, Chris, go through your picks again.
So I'm taking Notre Dame plus the 2.5, Miami minus the 3.5, and Florida State minus 7.5.
Okay, I like Cincinnati plus 15 against UCLA. I love the under in the Miami-LSU game, under 46. And I like Michigan straight out to win against Notre Dame tonight. And I like the over in the game. What was the number that you gave me?
46.
Over 46 of Michigan-Notre Dame. Adam?
I like the under in that game in Michigan-Notre Dame. I like Alabama to cover the 24. And I like over in the total of that game at 61.
So we're just giving you out money here on Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, Jonathan Hood with you, broadcasting live from the Four Winds Casino here in South Bend at the Kankakee Grill. If you're ever in the area, if you're ever going to go to a Notre Dame game, stop here first because this is a nice spot to come here, Chris, first, and then be able to go to the game, because many people have done that right now.
I had a burger at the bar earlier. The cut of bacon on the burger was thicker than the burger itself. I mean, it was so delicious. It was a barbecue bacon burger. Ooh, baby, it was good. You got to stop here on your way to South Bend, or maybe on your way out of town, play some blackjack on your way home.
That's
after
true.
The Notre Dame-Michigan game. So I think Abdallah and I are going to go to a table right at, what, 5:32? Is that the plan, Abdallah? We're going to go play some blackjack?
It might be. It might
All right.
be.
All right, time for a CCT scoreboard.
Go ahead, CCT Chris. Scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
The Bulldogs from Georgia, they're up 45-0 on Austin Peay at the end of the third quarter. The big game going on right now, Auburn, Washington. Washington is driving in Auburn's territory. It's 2 minutes left in the third quarter. The score is still 15-13, but Washington has the ball, driving the football right now at Auburn. LSU, they're up. I mean, USC is up 19-14 on UNLV. 9:40 left in the third quarter. Again, closer than the experts think in that one. Other games going on. Penn State having a tough time against Appalachian State. 24-17. 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Delayed still because of weather. West Virginia and Tennessee at the half. The score is 13-7 in that one. And also going on in the Big Ten right now, Iowa. They're up 24-0 on Northern Illinois with 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
All right, you are listening to Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, with Chris and Adam, Jonathan Hood with you. Any other games that stand out to you so far, guys, that you have seen that resonate with you? You know, you gave the scoreboard here, and again, we're keeping our eyes on this game with Washington-Auburn. I believe the Pac-12 hangs in the balance with this one here. Washington wins, then it breathes new life into the Pac-12, an opportunity to win. But the Tennessee situation here, as you mentioned, delayed. West Virginia leading Tennessee 13-7. With Jeremy Pruitt, a name that we've heard for quite a long time in football circles, trying to restart a program. I don't think it's totally dead, but it needs some life, this Tennessee Volunteers team.
Yeah, and they're playing a team that is a bit overhyped heading into the season. Ranked 17th overall is West Virginia. Their quarterback, Will Grier, he'll be mentioned in most Heisman conversations. But outside of that, I'm not quite sure what the Mountaineers bring to the table. It's definitely a team both Abdallah and I thought would be an under on their win total for the season. And it's a team that I think will struggle throughout the year. So I like Tennessee heading into this game. The game is closer than what the spread was. It was a 10-point game. That's what it ended at. Right now you're looking at a 6-point ball game. So right now Tennessee is covering. It's a tough game. A couple other things I want to point to, guys. You look again at Maryland. They get a big victory. Tough summer, right, with scandal.
Yep.
They come out opening day, heartfelt victory against Texas, 34-29. And Tom Herman starts the season with a really bad loss on the road. And then you look at Texas's counterpart, Oklahoma. Some people thought that Lane and the Owls would get a little frisky at FAU. No chance. Oklahoma 63-14. They just rolled all over Boomer Sooner, all over Lane Kiffin and his nonsense.
I think to me that's the game that sticks out the most. I know that they're ranked 7th in the AP, top 25, Oklahoma that is. But I think as far as the national conversation goes, they've kind of been left out since Baker Mayfield left. They've kind of been, oh, this Kyler Murray, he's doing this football thing. He's really a baseball player. He's already got $5 million. So what's the point? What are we doing here? But this offense, they prove it with 5 touchdowns on the ground, 3 through the air. Kyler Murray goes 9-for-11, 209 yards and 2 touchdowns.
You put up 63 points and you only throw 11 passes. How about that?
It's insane. So to me, they are right back in the forefront of a college football playoff conversation to go along with Ohio State that put up 77 points today against Oregon State. So those two teams, two kind of teams. I know Ohio State's been in the news for the wrong reasons right now, but they're another team that on the field, they're still going to be one of the more dominant teams. But Oklahoma, everybody seems to have counted them out like, oh, well, Baker's gone.
Yeah,
that
right.
doesn't matter.
Right. Lincoln Riley's a good head coach. And yeah. The other thing to kind of point to is, Jonathan, I want to get your thoughts on this because we haven't talked to you on the air about it. And if you're driving around in your car this afternoon, you're listening to the show, maybe you don't know everything about college football. You just kind of like listening in and following what's going on. Here's the story with Kyler Murray. And have you ever heard of this before, Jonathan? He was drafted by the Oakland Athletics. He signed a contract. He can only play 1 year at Oklahoma. He's playing 1 year of college football at quarterback for Oklahoma, and then he's going pro next year. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of something with, like, because what's crazy about it is
it's not like football is a guaranteed sport where you can make it through without getting hurt.
Right.
And the Oakland Athletics are okay allowing him to go play 1 year of college football.
Wow. No, I had never heard of that before. And if that happened, usually that stuff was off the record. You wouldn't know. Like, he'd just be
Dude's walking around with $5 million.
Yeah, yeah. You're on college campus. You're there at Oklahoma.
Right.
You got the money in the bank. You know you're going pro for the Oakland Athletics once the season's over. But you're there at Oklahoma, going to play quarterback. You started today. You looked awesome. This team, as Abdallah said, is definitely a sleeper to make a run at the college football playoff.
Well, he's taking Oklahoma because he's already scratched out Washington. And Washington's still in the balance here, 15-13 with a minute left of the third. He already has counted out the Pac-12. He's already penciled in Oklahoma.
And here's Abdallah's problem. If you win this game, that's a good resume-building win.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay, so what happens in like 5 minutes when they score a touchdown and they take the lead? You're going to pencil them back into your little foursome there?
Cross out Penn State.
I mean,
can't hang with Appalachian State.
You've got a flimsy foursome there.
No, I got a solid top two. I got a solid top two to build my foundation on.
Right.
And then the other two are rotating. You can rotate those in and out. That's fine.
Those other two are not very good for your tent poles there for your.
That's fine. I only need two solid structures there. And I'm good.
Not to build. Not to build a house.
The question is,
you need four.
The question is with Oklahoma and Kyler Murray.
Right.
Austin Kendall saw some action. He did score a touchdown.
Yeah.
How much injury is he willing to handle? How much of a, like, if he's hurt, if he's sore, how much is he willing to play? How much is Oklahoma willing to? Because I'm sure that if something happens, Oklahoma has to be on the hook for some of that money. They have to be.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Jonathan, Chris, and Adam broadcasting live from the Four Winds Casino here in South Bend. Let's hear from Jim Harbaugh. The reason why we're here is because Michigan and Notre Dame taking place in a few miles from here at the Four Winds Casino in South Bend. Let us hear from Jim Harbaugh, the sit-down interview with Marty Smith. How does he look at this matchup?
You said that the goal was a championship.
Mm-hmm.
How close are you to that goal?
Well, we're having at it. We have high expectations, and that's the cause. You know, there's no cause we support, foreign or domestic, other than winning the Big Ten championship. That's our goal. That's our goal this year.
How do you think you've evolved during your years here at Michigan as a coach?
I'm kind of just, see through like a baggie. You know, I just.
What's see through a baggie mean?
Transparent like a baggie. You know, I'd be a terrible poker player. You know, I just kind of wear the emotions on the sleeve. I try to attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind and feel good about the job that I'm doing and I want to do it even better tomorrow. I mean, that's. So, if that's evolving, then I'm evolving.
Let's talk criticism. What's your reaction to people who criticize your record in perceived big games?
Fair, because we haven't won them. So, a loss, tough loss, the mouth gets real dry, and, we like to be by ourselves. We like to just be in misery. You know, you do the best job that you can, and there's always going to be 100 people at least who are going to tell you how you could have done it better.
September 13th, 1986. Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines walk into Notre Dame and beat Lou Holtz and the boys 24-23. I want every vivid memory you've got.
Everyone? I just remember we won. I remember one of the happiest feelings, you know, coming back from South Bend and coming onto campus and just felt good about yourself, you know. As far as the game, I remember Jamie Morris catching the touchdown pass on the left side of the end zone going toward the touchdown Jesus. And
you can smile. It's okay.
Yeah, that was a tremendous catch by him. And pretty good throw. I remember that being a good throw.
I know it's the next game, but what's the importance of this game for you and for your team?
You know, who could have it better? I mean, you go into a really hostile environment. You know, they'll shake up the thunder and, Duke Rockne may even come down from heaven, you know.
What's the impact of your personal experience as a player being able to prepare your players for that environment and that magnitude?
Yeah, it's going to be chaos, man. It's going to be football at its most exciting level, you know. Go have fun.
Jim Harbaugh ready for tonight's game against Notre Dame. We'll find out. Our coverage starts at the bottom of the hour right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Our thanks to you for listening. Our thanks to our guest, Steve Silverman, as well as Adam Rittenberg for being with us. Show produced by Eric Ostrowski back in our studios in downtown Chicago. ArtB.com also on site taking care of us. Get that website going again, will you, pal? And also our staff here at Fort Wins Casino in South Bend. Thank you so much for having us. Great first show.
Yeah, I can't wait to do it next week, and I can't wait to watch the games tonight.
Roll Tide.
For Adam Abdallah and Chris Fleck, this is Jonathan Hood. We'll talk to you next Saturday at 11 a.m. with another edition of Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Go Dawgs!